time now for Radio America, featuring the best in retro radio. Those great old shows you love. Broadcast from south of the Mason-Dixon line. From the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's Radio America. From the days of good, clean fun on the radio. So sit back, relax, and prepare to have a great time right here with us on Radio America.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the
yes, transcribed, your friendly local merchant who sells and displays healthful, refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum invites you to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Kottner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I had me a gal in Tulsa, and I thought she was my own. But she up and left me for a waddy from San Antonio. She didn't even tell me that she was leaving me. Now I'm the lonesomest cowboy down in the cow country. Got the cowboy blues, I'm blue as I can be. That old lobo howling at the moon ain't got a thing on me. Got a long gone lonesome feeling that I just can't seem to lose. I'm just a lonesome cowboy singing the cowboy blues. I sell my horse and saddle and catch me a cattle train. Leave my troubles behind me and I'll never come back again. And if you ever see her, just tell her this for me. She made me the lonesomest cowboy down in the cow country. Got the cowboy blues, I'm blue as I can be. That old lobo howling at the moon ain't got a thing on me. Got a long gone lonesome feeling that I just can't seem to lose. I'm just a lonesome cowboy singing the cowboy blues. Thank you very, very much, friends. And as I've said many, many times before, welcome to Melody Ranch. You know, saying welcome to good friends is something we all say time and time again, and really mean every time we say it. And I really mean it when I pass along this friendly suggestion, too. Treat yourself often to delicious, refreshing double mint chewing gum. You're going to like that grand double mint flavor every time you taste it. So cool, so refreshing. And smooth double mint is so pleasant and easy to chew. Really satisfying. So buy a package of delicious double mint today and enjoy it every day. That's delicious, refreshing double mint gum. I know that someday you want me to want you. When I'm in love with somebody else, you expect me to be true and keep on loving you. Though I am feeling blue, you think I can't forget you until someday you want me to want you. When I am strong for somebody new, and though you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow, and then I want you. I know that someday you want me to want you. When I am strong for somebody new, and though you don't want me now,
smile, get along somehow, and then I want you.
Thank you very, very much, folks.
Hey, Mr. Artery, hold it a minute there, will you?
Now what?
You are looking at Patrick J. Buttram, genius.
Do I have to?
Now, I'm serious. I'm going to open me up a roadside store.
Sounds very enterprising, Pat.
Yes, sir.
When's the big event going to take place?
Just as soon as possible. And I'm really going to do it up in a big way, too. For instance, you know in the city when they open a new store, they have searchlights that go 1,000 feet into the sky, you know?
Yeah, but don't tell me you're going to have searchlights that go 1,000 feet into the sky.
No, I can't afford a searchlight, but I'm going to get the same effect. I'm going to have a firefly back into a hot stove.
Sounds very, very brilliant.
Well, that's me.
Say, by the way, do you think you got enough stock to operate a store like that?
Well, I must say that that's a problem now. For instance, like this morning, I went down to my chicken roost and I found one egg. I was so discouraged, I almost just give up right then and there.
But, Pat, you shouldn't be discouraged. Instead, well, you should look to the future. Why, just think, one egg could hatch one chicken. And that chicken could lay more eggs. And they'd hatch more chickens. Pretty soon you'd have 2,000 chickens laying 4,000 eggs a day. Then think how much money you'd have. And all from just one little egg.
I don't think it'll work.
Why?
I ate the egg for breakfast this morning.
Fine thing.
Say, Mr. Artery, this is a kind of a touchy subject, but you know, when a man goes into a big operation like a store, he needs money.
Oh, he does he?
That's right. So I naturally thought of you, Mr. Artery. Now, if we was real good friends, you'd loan me $50. Well, if we was just passing friends, you'd loan me $20. Well, even if we was only a nodding acquaintance, you'd loan me $5. Well, ain't you going to say something?
Howdy, stranger.
Look, I'll even give you a half interest in my experiment as a security.
What experiment?
Well, I've invented a new kind of tomato.
A new kind of tomato?
Yes, sir. It's long, thin, yellow, seedless, and it has a thick peeling.
What do you call it?
A banana.
Very, very funny, I'd say, Buttram. Now, look here. If you'd spend less time cracking jokes and more time working, you'd have more money.
Listen, I'll have you know I work like a dog.
Yes, I know. And speaking of dogs, where'd you get that hound I saw you feeding this morning?
Oh, you mean Alexander?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's half pointer and half spitz. But I'm going to get rid of him.
How come?
He don't point where he spits.
Very, very nice. along sure makes me lazy. Brings to mind the time you and me went fishing at Hopeless Creek, Gene.
Some fishing trip. No rod.
Yeah, but didn't we have a swell time anyway? Just resting and eating?
Look, Johnny, you were so busy eating you didn't have time to rest. Ham sandwiches, beef sandwiches, hard-boiled eggs, apple pie, bananas, coconut cake, fried chicken, gingerbread, hot coffee.
Don't forget the double mint.
How could I? Long about the time you needed something to help your digestion. And that healthful chewing is a grand help, folks, besides after a good meal. That cool, refreshing double mint flavor goes great, too. Just seems to top things off. But unless you're like Johnny Bun, you can't be eaten all the time. So treat yourself to delicious double mint any time of the day when you want a swell chewing treat and a grand taste treat. Yes, sir, double mint's pleasant chewing goes right along with whatever you're doing. You like double mint gum. Doesn't matter about the lies that you told me. I know that you'll regret each little lie. And though you thought I'd weep upon your shoulder, down in Texas, darling, Texans never cry. And I don't care about the vows you've broken. I'm sure I'll never know the reasons why. And though you thought that I'd be brokenhearted, down in Texas, darling, Texans never cry. I know that you have found someone who's closer to your heart. As Texans say, I'll find a way to make another start. Since you have found some other lips to kiss you, I hope that you'll be happy by and by. And though it's true that I am gonna miss you, down in Texas, darling, Texans never cry. Well, thank you very, very much, gang. Incidentally, folks, we just made a record of that song a few days ago. Should be coming out very soon. We hope you like it.
Well?
Well, what?
Ain't you going to tell a story?
Well, I hadn't given much thought to it, to tell you the truth, Johnny. What kind of a story would you like to hear?
Oh, I didn't have nothing special in mind. But there must be a lot of people you know stories about. Doctors.
I wouldn't want to tell all of them.
Well, how about doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs? Any one of them would be all right.
Well, how'd you like to hear one story all about all three of them? A doctor, a lawyer, and even an Indian chief.
Are you kidding?
Well, why don't you listen and see?
Okay, I will.
Well, let's see here, Johnny. Seems to me this story all started one morning when I was out in back fixing the plowshare. Anyway, I guess my mind was really on my work, because before I knew it, Randy Marshall, a young attorney in town, had walked up and was saying...
You always chew your gum that hard when you're working?
Huh? Oh, hi there, Randy. I didn't hear you come up.
You didn't answer my question, Jim. You always chew your gum that hard?
Sure do. What brings you out here?
Doc Redden.
Doc Redden?
Yeah. Seems like Clyde Martin died last night, Gene, while the doc was operating on him. Mrs. Martin was out of town, and when she got back this morning, she claimed no one had given the doc permission to operate. So she had him arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, no.
Yeah?
But, Randy, Doc Redden wouldn't have operated unless that was the only way he could have saved his life.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I came out, Gene. You see, he's asked me to defend him, and I'd like to use you as a character witness.
Court is now in session. Judge Oliver Wentworth presiding. First case, Mrs. Clyde Martin versus Dr. James Reardon. Charge, involuntary manslaughter.
Order in the court. Will the prosecuting attorney please take his case to the jury?
Thank you, Your Honor. Friends of this court and ladies and gentlemen of the jury, During the course of this trial, I will prove that Dr. James Reardon acted far beyond the authority vested in him as a physician and surgeon. For completely ignoring the ethics of the medical profession, he acted without permission of the patient or his nearest of kin, and in so doing, took the life of a fellow man unnecessarily. Furthermore, I will prove these accusations beyond a question of a doubt, and will demand you to find the defendant, Dr. James Reardon, guilty of the crime of involuntary manslaughter.
And then young Randy Marshall, the doctor's attorney, began his opening statement.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For almost a solid hour, he argued, pleaded, and reasoned. But the jurors' faces remained cold and unimpressed.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I maintain that Dr. Reardon took the only possible course in performing this operation. It was the one chance that he had to save Clyde Martin's life. Unfortunately, it failed. Now I'd like to call Mr. Gene Autry to the stand.
Gene Autry will take the stand. Do you, Gene Autry, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, Your Honor. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, Judge, I guess what I really came up here to say is this. Everyone in our town loved Doc Ridley. That is, until 3 days ago when he tried to save Clyde Martin's life. Well, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe he should have stayed home that night and sent out bills. At least, that way he'd never be sitting in this courtroom today charged with manslaughter. No, instead his conscience would be charging him with the same thing. So he went. When he got there, he did the best he could. Just as he's done around here for the past 35 years. You ought to know that, Tom. You, Tom Clayton. Remember 2 springs ago when you called the doc over to your house in the middle of the night?
I'm afraid you've got a very sick little girl there, Tom. Looks like diphtheria.
Oh, Doc, you got to help her. You just got to.
I'll do all I can, Tom. Now, suppose you get busy and boil some water.
Okay. And, Doc, if you save her, I'll never forget you.
Remember that, Tom? For 2 nights and 2 days, Doc Reardon didn't leave your little girl's bedside. And because of him, she lived. Then there was another time. You should remember this one, Mrs. Beavers. You called him when blood poisoning set in your husband's leg. I remember because I drove the doc out to your place in my buckboard.
Looks pretty bad, Mrs. Beavers. Sam may have to lose his life.
Oh, no. No. Oh, doctor. Sam's got to be able to walk again. He's just got to be able to walk and work. Oh, can't you save it, doctor? If you do, we'll never forget you.
And the doc did save it. And Sam walks and works today, thanks to him. And do any of you remember another day? Doc Reardon Day, it was called. Everybody in town gathered in the square to pay tribute to him. Folks of every race, creed, and color.
So, we of Chippewa tribe give great thanks to our white friend, Doc Reardon. Him save life of many Indians because him understand our people. We never forget him.
Sure, you all remember those things about Doc Reardon. You remember how he let you pay him potatoes, eggs, or in some cases, just never pay him at all. You remember all that, but now you condemn him for trying to save a man's life. Why, he saved the life of someone near and dear to almost everyone in this courtroom. But most of you seem to have forgotten.
Order! Order in the court. Mr. Autry, I'm certain that all that you've just said about Dr. Reardon is true. The fact remains, however, that it is possible that he is liable in this instance, no matter what great things he has done before.
In that case, Your Honor, if I may, with permission of both you and Mr. Marshall, I'd like to call on one more witness, Dr. Randolph Bellamy of the State Medical Board.
Will Dr. Randolph Bellamy take the stand? Dr. Bellamy, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do.
Go ahead, Doc.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, last night at 11 p.m., I performed an autopsy on the body of Clyde Martin.
Order! Order in the court! Proceed, Doctor.
Yes, Your Honor. After examining the tumor on Mr. Martin's brain, I found that it was of a fatal nature. Dr. Reardon ceased operating when the patient died. But had he gone further, he would have discovered that the tumor had grown to such an extent that, regardless of what he'd done, the patient would have succumbed within 24 hours. Well,
Johnny, after that, the judge gave his closing remarks and dismissed the jury. And for the next 45 minutes, not a soul in the entire courtroom made a move to leave their seats. And no one spoke. They all seemed to be waiting for just one thing. The jury room door to open. Seconds ticked on like years, and then finally...
This court is in session again. The case of Mrs. Clyde Martin versus Dr. James Reardon. The charge, involuntary manslaughter.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
And so, Johnny, Dr. James Reardon went back to being just a plain country doctor. Funny thing. Actually, all those folks needed was a little memory jogging. You know a country doctor's life isn't an easy one. They work day and night, often without adequate equipment. Drive many a mile over rough roads and wildernesses to help those who need them. And ask them, for the most part, nothing in return. So I, for one, propose a toast to the country doctor. May he find reward and satisfaction in the faces of those he cared for, and contentment in the life he gives to so many. This next song is The Rim of the Canyon. It also happens to be the name of a motion picture, which might just happen to be playing at your neighborhood theater. In which case, if you might just happen to go, you might just happen to hear this song being sung by someone who just happens to sound like me. Oh, well, here it is.
On high, touch a star in the sky, from the rim of the canyon, low, I can see far below, where the cool waters flow. From the rim of the canyon,
gazing on the wonder that grew at God's command, seems that he's so near me, I can feel the touch of his hand.
night, and the day is in flight. What a glorious sight. From the rim of the canyon, from the rim of the canyon, from the rim of the canyon.
Well, friends, it's goodbye for another Melody Ranch party. But remember, the lad string will be out again next week, the same time and over these same stations. Meanwhile, anytime you want a real chewing treat and a real taste treat, enjoy healthful, refreshing government gum. I always keep a package handy in my pocket where I can reach it anytime I want. I'm suggesting you do the same. Keep a package of delicious government handy all the time. Now, folks, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentry, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night, the only law is right, back in the saddle again.
Be sure to join us again next week at the same time and over these same stations when the Ridley people will again present Gene Autry, who may soon be seen in the Columbia picture, Riders in the Sky, and who, beginning Thursday, September 29th, will be appearing in person with his big championship rodeo at Madison Square Garden, New York City. This is Charlie Lyon. This program is transcribed. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Believe it or not. There was a shoe worn by the ancient Egyptians with the outline of an enemy on its sole, so that the wearer could stamp on his enemy with each step he took. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the story of a very remarkable man. Billy Marshall, a tinker of Kirkandbright, Scotland, was truly a most remarkable man. In his earlier years, he enlisted in the Army and the Navy 10 times. Each time he enlisted, he deserted without ever being caught. He outlived 17 wives, and he became the father of 4 children after he was 100 years of age. He finally died in the year 1792 at the age of 120 years, believe it or not.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Calgary, Tombstone. Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town!
Howdy. I'm Chad Remington. Never heard of me? Well, a lot of folks have never even heard of the town I come from. Dos Rios means two rivers. And if Dos Rios sounds peaceful, well, it's no more peaceful than any other frontier town. Good folks and bad, God-fearing and evil. And I know, because not only am I a rancher, but I'm also the town's only lawyer. Take the other day, I was perched on a keg of horseshoe nails, swapping yarns with Cherokee O'Bannon out in front of his livery stable, and bragging him about the time he used to be a medicine man.
Doggone it, Chad. No good lawyer would say a thing like that. No, sir. That there is slander, libel, and mayhem.
Oh, go on. That genuine Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil you used to peddle couldn't cure a hop toad of warts.
My friend, and I've given you the best of it. My rattlesnake oil was an absolute and positive cure for 376 diseases of men and bees. And guaranteed.
Guaranteed, he says. Well, if my father hadn't saved you from that necktie party, that...
What's wrong, Chad? What are you staring at?
That rider heading this way. You notice how he's slumped over in the saddle?
Tan my hide and call me Buckskin. What do you think's wrong with him?
If I'm any good at guessing, he's been shot. Come on. Yeah, 6 inches lower, mister, and that lead would have gone through your heart.
Guess this is my lucky day.
Yes, sirree, Bub. You were playing in real luck. Not only that Chad spotted you, but that I just happened to have a bottle of my genuine Cherokee rattlesnake oil. Here, take another little swallow.
Oh, no, wait a minute, Cherokee. It was all right pouring it down his mouth when he fainted, but no conscious man's going to drink that stuff.
I'll have you know it's very tasty stuff. Besides, I wasn't going to charge him for it, Chad.
I'll say you were, not with me here. Now, what was that you were saying outside about filing for a piece of land?
Yeah, that's why I rode over here to the county seat. You see, I've been prospecting over at Big Strike. Struck a fine, rich claim. But I guess Rocky Carew found out about my strike, too.
Rocky Carew? Now, who would all got get out as Rocky Carew?
Not only don't we know who this Mr. Carew is, but we don't even know your name. Maybe we better start from the beginning. This is Cherokee O'Bannon, and my handle's Chad Remington. I'm supposed to be sort of a lawyer.
A lawyer? Garson, maybe I am lucky. My name is Ford, Todd Ford. And if you can help me straighten this out and get my claim filed, I'll pay you any fee you want.
I'd be more than glad to help you, Todd, but I'm not that hard up for fees. Who's this fellow Carew you mentioned?
A black-hearted buzzard who moved into Big Strike about a month after they struck gold.
See.
He claims to be a miner. The only thing I've ever seen him do is hang around the town saloon. The Bonanza Bar. Spending money and living like a lord.
Well, you can't knock that to me. That Carew character sounds like he's plenty smart.
I'll say he's smart. Never working, never prospecting. But he owns 6 or 7 of the richest claims over there. It's mighty funny the way certain prospectors have either vanished or have been found with their toes pointing up in the air.
Well, I thought we'd seen the last of claim jumpers. You think Carew's responsible for that bandage we just put on your shoulder?
Of course. Why, it's as plain as the nose on my face. And just about as red. It's an open and shut case.
Cherokee, you stick to your doctor and leave the law business to me. Well, how about it, Todd? Do you think Carew tried to bushwhack you?
Carew or one of his gunslingers?
Why, I'll mow him down. I'll drill him so full of holes that when he stoops over, he'll wheeze like an accordion. I'll fill him so
just
full
a minute, Cherokee. May get your chance later. But not till we first try to settle this under the few processes of law that we enjoy out here. First thing I suggest doing, if Todd's able to walk, is to escort him down the street to the recorder's office and doggone well file his claim. Land office is 2 dusty blocks down Dos Rios' only street from where Cherokee keeps his livery stable. With Todd Ford's shoulder bandaged, we walked slowly past the familiar stores with the false fronts, the half-dozen saloons, which even in the early afternoon were going full blast. We just passed Ben Minton's Lucky Horseshoe Cafe when I felt Todd's arm stiffen under my hand. I was hungry. His steps, which were slow to start with, suddenly faltered to a halt.
Hold it, Chad. Hmm? Wait a minute.
How if you're getting weak, son? It just happens that I brought along a bottle of my famous Cherokee rattlesnake oil.
No, it ain't that. You see that big fella just tying off that black horse?
Yeah.
He's from over my way. Name's Big Jake. Hangs out with Rocky Carew. Yeah,
from the sweat on that horse, I'd say he'd been pounding leather to get over here. To get over here in a hurry.
Well, like you say, I'm not a barrister. But if there are only four shells left in that six gun of his, he's the vulture who plugged Todd Ford.
I bet he is. I just know it.
Well, we're not getting any place standing here gawking at him. Let's walk. When Todd spotted Big Jake, we were about 100 yards away from the land office. Walking slowly gave me time to size him up as he knotted his lines around the hitch rack. Big Jake was a big man, all right. Big and with a chest on him like a hog's head. Big and as mean-looking a gent as any I'd ever seen. He spotted us coming and turned quickly and started for the land office. I let go of Todd's arm and trotted toward him, getting between him and the door before he could open it.
You, wanting something?
Yeah, I was. You mind if I look at that gun you're wearing?
I sure do.
It'll save some trouble.
I ain't got no troubles.
But I have. You see, I'm a lawyer here in Dos Rios. I was just retained by that young fellow with the bandage on his shoulder.
Oh. Well, Counselor, since I'm no man to argue with a lawyer. Sure. Here. Here's my gun. See you in court, Counselor. Maybe.
Like I said, Jake was a big man. And I had a lump on the top of my head the size of a mallard's egg where he'd hit me with the butt of the gun I'd been fool enough to ask to see. By the time Todd and Cherokee ran up and I came too, Mr. Carew's gun hand had had enough time to get into the land office, record his claim, and out the back door. The land office registrar was sympathetic enough for all the good it did.
Well, I believe you're right enough, Chad, but as a lawyer, you ought to know that the first fellow to get in is a fellow whose claim we got to recognize.
Of course, but like all other rules, there are exceptions to that one, too.
Exceptions, my eye. Where Rocky Carew is concerned, this way of getting claims is a rule.
Eh? What's that name again, young fella?
Carew, Rocky Carew.
Yeah, that ain't the name he filed in. There's the name of, wait a minute, let me see here. Yeah, the claim's filed in the name, Jake Hunbright.
Sure, that's his name. Big Jake Hunbright.
You'll have to excuse me batting my long eyelashes like this, but it sure seems like this polecat Carew gets out of this as free as a lark on the wing.
He might, but not if Jake sells Carew the claim later. That's legal, good and legal.
Well, if that's legal, and Cherokee's right, Carew gets out scot-free.
Carew gets out scot-free if and providing we're unable to prove that he hired Jake to dry goat you on the way over from Big Strike. And instructed him to file on the claim you'd discovered.
And that, believe me, ain't going to prove easy. No, sir, it ain't going to prove easy at all.
Well, you're right about that. Since we can't prove anything here in Dos Rios, I think we'd better be...
Chad, I sure appreciate you wanting to help. But I reckon it's just a waste of time. I guess mine is just another claim Carew and his gang got to jump on.
No, my interest in this isn't entirely unselfish, no. When Big Jake clubbed me with his gun, he didn't raise just a bump on my head. It brought out my bump of curiosity. Now, come on, we're going back over to the livery stable and pounding up dust on the trail of Big Strike. Now, with that bad shoulder, Todd, if we're going too fast for you, just sing out.
No, I'm all right. And the way I feel, I don't feel like singing. Out or otherwise.
Well, Songbird, you listen to Dr. O'Bannon. You found one gold claim, you probably find another. Where there's one, there's got to be more.
That's not what I mean about the gold. As we were riding along, it suddenly dawned on me how Carew happened to find out about that claim.
What do you mean?
I'll give you three guesses. A woman.
A woman?
Yeah. And I thought she was on the square with me.
Yeah, live and learn. Live and learn, I always say.
You always say something, Cherokee. Who is she, Todd? The only reason I ask is it just might help in cleaning this up.
Her name's Althea.
Uh-huh.
Thea's what I call her, and she works over in Big Strike.
Oh.
I guess you'd call her an entertainer. It works in the Bonanza Bar, place where Carew hangs out.
When the good Lord made this world, he made 97 kinds of poison. 96 of them can absolutely be cured by my genuine Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil. But the 97th is the one poison that no one has ever found the cure for. And that's female women.
I'll grub stake you on that one, Cherokee.
Were you in love with this Althea?
If I was, it's over. But I'll bet what poke I've got left, the only reason she played up to me at all was to tip off Carew.
Well, one of the things a lawyer is forced to handle from time to time is misunderstandings between men and women. A good lawyer tries to prevent divorce.
Suppose we just let the whole thing drop.
Fair enough. Suppose we rattle up these ponies, huh? The sun's starting to set. It's going to be dark by the time we get the Big Strike. It was dark, all right, by the time we got the Big Strike. The lights from the Bonanza Bar slanted out over the batwing doors and stabbed through the gloom like smoky yellow sabers. Inside, we stood by the doors, blinking in the unaccustomed light while Todd Ford tried to pick out Carew for me. But before he was able, a small figure in a stiff, spangled skirt pushed through the crowd and ran up to Todd.
Oh, Todd! Todd! Oh, Todd! Todd, I'm so glad you... Oh, what's the matter? What happened, Todd? Your shoulder's bandaged.
Don't look so surprised. Or maybe you are surprised because he missed.
Because he missed?
No, I'm not aiming to intrude, but Todd's had a couple of shocks today.
I'll say I have. And one I'm not forgetting either.
But Todd, what's the matter? You're looking at me as if you never saw me before.
I don't know about that. But I never want to see you again. That much I'm sure of.
Miss, if you leave Todd alone right now, I think it better.
That's him. That's Carew walking this way now.
So that's cool. It looks more like a rattlesnake on legs.
Althea, come on over to my table and I'll buy you a... Well, what happened to you, Ford? Get mixed up in a gun scrape?
If he did, it was a little one-sided.
I beg your pardon. I don't believe we've met.
And we have now. I'm Chad Remington, lawyer from Dos Rios. I rode all the way over here just to talk to you, Mr. Carew.
I don't need a lawyer.
That, my friend, is a matter of opinion. However, as far as you're concerned, in this particular action, my services have already been spoken for by Mr. Ford.
From the way he looks, he don't need a lawyer. He needs a bodyguard.
Now, you probably know more about that than I do. All I can tell you is we've got a few laws in this state to protect honest men from claim jumpers.
Remington, if I were in your boots, I'd turn them around toward the door and I'd walk out. And I wouldn't stop until I was back in Dos Rios.
Fire that loudmouth hypocritical...
Oh, Cherokee, Todd, no. In this case, I think his advice is pretty good. Come on.
Todd, Todd, please. You can't go without explaining what's happened.
Get your dirty little hands off
of
me.
Oh, no.
Okay, Chad, let's go.
Todd!
Wait a second. Back against the wall.
Chad, who flanked that shot?
Oh, boy, they'd call him a couple of death warrants. Two men, see him? One's in the shadows between the alley and the saloon. The other one's in that doorway across the street.
Chad, what are we going to do?
What can we do? We can try shooting it out. But my best guess is we've all got a pretty good chance of spending the rest of our lives right here in Big Strike, up on the shady side of Boot Hill.
We'll return to the stirring climax of Frontier Town in just about 1 minute.
Thank you.
Murtaugh.
Well, the night wasn't cold, but with those gunmen blocking our paths, I don't mind admitting I was frozen. Frozen stiff. We moved a scant few inches, the lights from the bonanza bar behind us would make us perfect targets. I could almost hear Cherokee's knuckles as his fingers closed over his gun butt. Todd Ford drew his. Finally, I drew mine.
Can you move a few inches there, Chan? This hog leg of mine kicks like an overgrown Missouri mule.
First one of us who moves gets killed.
We just can't stand here.
Now, take it easy, kid. The longer we make them wait, the more nervous they're...
What's the matter?
Someone's coming. Coming from behind us.
I told you what I'd do, Remington, if I were in your boots. But I figured maybe you needed a little lesson.
Rocky, what are you doing here?
I didn't think I'd have to tell you again. But I just came out to make sure you knew what would happen to the three of you if you thought you might want to hang around Big Strike... talking about claim jumpers.
Carew, your demonstration's even more convincing than my friend here used to give selling his rattlesnake oil.
Thanks.
But on the other hand, I never bought any of Cherokee's rattlesnake oil.
That's for you to decide. All I have to do now is walk back inside the saloon. A couple of seconds later, you'll be dead. Awful dead.
Go on, then. Go on back to Thea.
Let's leave Thea out of this talk.
No. No, let's talk about her. She's pretty, well put together, and I imagine she's got a very affectionate nature.
Why, you
don't keep my gun down. Yeah.
So, you're a gentleman and a lawyer, huh? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Remington. Since you rode all the way over here from Dos Rios, your horses are probably beat. You're safe in Big Strike until tomorrow. But I don't expect to see you here after the sun sets.
That's a very gracious offer, Carew. I'm accepting it.
Good. Okay, boys. Let them through. Good night, gentlemen. Oh, and Todd, I'll be sure to tell Thea just how much you think of her. Court,
the criminal court, granting us a stay of execution, the three of us rode back up to Todd's diggings. It was hard and cold on the ground, but I slept like a baby. I slept until shortly after dawn. Then I heard voices. I rolled over a little on one elbow and just...
I know. But Todd, I didn't come here to argue. Believe me, I didn't...
I'm not arguing, Thea. I'm just telling you to clear out of here. Clear out and stay out of my life. If your gentleman friend leaves me with a life...
He's not my gentleman friend. He's nothing to me. He's just a customer down at the bar.
And a mighty good customer, I'll bet.
Oh, Todd, you can't stay here now. Carew will kill you. I have you killed like he has everyone else who's gotten in his way. Let's go away. Let's go someplace else together.
I told you to get out of here before. Now, go on. You're not making a fool of me again.
Oh, Todd, please.
I'm going over and wake up Chad and Cherokee. When I get back over here, you'd better be gone.
Don't be a fool. I don't care what you think of me, but just get out of Big Strike before they kill you.
Yeah. Maybe I will get out, but not before we found Jake Hunbright and made him talk. And we'll find him if we have to ride around this country all week.
Are we going to ride around looking for Big G? I'm so saddle sore now, my legs feel like I've been playing a second-hand cello.
Well, cello or not, if we ever find Jake, what we've got to say to him isn't going to make music.
Dad!
Yeah?
Just riding through them Quakies. That's Jake now.
Darting into that grove of trees, he must have spotted us. Yeah, we better knock on these...
The shots came right from those aspens.
Yeah, right where Big Jake rode. Come on.
Do it!
Oh, boy. Cherokee. Come on, help me turn him over.
You first.
That's Big Jake.
I hate to correct you, Todd, but that was Big Jake. Three of those four shots went plumb through him.
From the angles of his shots, they must have had him surrounded.
Just like they did us last night.
Well, Counselor, there goes your case. Higher than a kite.
Maybe.
Huh? What do you mean, maybe? With Jake dead, you'll never prove nothing. And for my part, I think I'm taking Carew's advice and moving on.
Now, wait. There's no doubt in my mind that Carew got Jake for fear that we might get to him first. But how he knew what we were up to is beyond me.
It ain't beyond me. His girlfriend wormed it out of me for him.
You'd make a pretty poor judge, Todd. You'd have everyone convicted before they ever got into court.
Well, how in tarnation would Carew have found out that we were looking for Jake?
Let's find that out when the time comes. But now let's find out what we can right here.
Billy Blue Blazes, you believe in ghosts or something, Chad? What are you going to find out from a dead man?
I don't know. Yet. But we may find out enough not only to get back Todd's claim, but to have Carew swinging from a gallows for murder. Being a lawyer, I don't usually play hunches, but this time my hunch was right. There in Big Jake's inside shirt pocket was a map and description of Todd's claim in handwriting, which Todd admitted was undoubtedly Carew's. He'd seen Carew's markers in a couple of faro games. It wasn't much to go on, but it was enough to send us back to the Bonanza Bar for a little further checking up.
I'd invite you all to sit down, but I know you three gents are leaving town in a few minutes. It's soon going to be sunset.
It soon is at that, Carew. I made a suggestion to Todd that he wants to talk to you about.
Yeah? Well, it better be quick.
It'll be quick, all right. You jumped my claim, and we know it.
The sun's setting right now. Maybe my eyes ain't so good, but 2 minutes from now, it's going to look dark again, if you know what I mean.
Your eyes were good enough to see Big Jake's back out in that grove.
That'll be enough, Todd.
Todd, please don't be crazy. Get out. Get out while you have a chance.
I'm not killing you again. Keep out of this, Thea.
There's less than 2 minutes left now.
Now, look, let me do the talking. Whatever money Todd had, he used up prospecting for the claim that Jake Hundright filed on.
Yeah.
So I suggest to save further trouble and to get enough money to move on, Todd write you out a quitclaim contract giving you all rights to the claim, for which you give him $100. Here, I even drew up the papers. All you got to do, Carew, is sign your name to it.
Okay. That's a deal.
Oh, thank God.
Just sign your name here.
All right. There you are. Now, I'll get you the 100.
Never mind the 100 now. This paper's all we want.
What?
That signature's the same handwriting we got here on this paper we took off Big Jake's body.
Why, you blasted fool,
let that gun alone.
Let go!
Why, that fool female, she stepped right into that shop.
Cherokee, grab him, quick.
Drop that gun, Carew, or I'll drop it.
Quiet. That blame fool. He just about committed suicide. Pulled the trigger just as I pushed the gun barrel up by his neck. Todd, his finger...
I'm afraid she's...
Come on, Cherokee. Let's have a look at her while somebody goes out and finds a doctor. Todd, not only have Cherokee and I got business back in Dos Rios, but I guess we're a little awkward in a lady's bedroom.
Oh, this won't be a lady's bedroom for long.
My little pigeon, I'm afraid you're going to have to explain that, even to me.
I just mean that as soon as the doctor says I'm able, this lady's bedroom's going to be out of Todd's diggings.
Well, they say that marriages are made in heaven. Yours certainly comes as close to proving it as any. Sawbones told me that if Carew's shot that Thea stopped had been a half inch further to the left, that, well...
But even my Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil couldn't have done any good for her.
And now, don't forget, you two. Cherokee and I are expecting a piece of the wedding cake to put under our pillars.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Ah, those pleasant dreams. Wedding cake, father, good old Kentucky bourbon under my pillow.
And let this be a lesson to you, Todd. The most important thing that glitters doesn't have to be a nugget. It's usually a woman with a heart of gold.
Frontier Town, starring Tex Chandler, is a Bruce Ells production. Story and supervision by Joel Murcott. Direction by Paul Franklin. Music written and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again, this time 1 week from today, for another fine action-adventure story with your favorite young Western star, Tex Chandler. Frontier Town came to you from Hollywood.
To Radio America, broadcast from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope you've enjoyed our show as much as we have bringing it to you. If you have any ideas for upcoming shows, or would like to be a guest, or support this great broadcast, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. That's radioamerica@inbox.com. Also, we're pleased to announce that we'll be offering CDs of great old-time radio shows. You'll get 50 different shows in MP3 format on CD for the low price of just $5 per CD, which includes shipping. For more information, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. We'll see you next time on Radio America.